In my last homily, I shared with you my lament that many Catholics have little more than a passing knowledge of the Old Testament, which, as Pope John Paul II reminded us, is part of our spiritual patrimony. On a more encouraging note, I also remark that during July and August, we will spend 7 whole weeks perusing some of the Old Testament prophetic books. That sounds like a lot of time, doesn't it? However, in these 7 weeks, we will skim through 8 different prophets, reading only brief portions, or more accurately, only snippets from their writings. It's sort of a sampler pack approach to the Old Testament. Try a little of this one, a little of that one, to get an overall sense of who the prophets were and how God enlisted them, both to encourage and to challenge the chosen people of Israel. In my reflection last week, I described Amos as a prophet of justice, excoriating the corrupt practices of merchants, landowners, and judicial officials, and bemoaning the baleful effects their behaviors had on the poor and vulnerable. This week, we dip into the book of Hosea. We might describe Hosea as the prophet of the broken covenant. Throughout his 14 chapters, Hosea insistently recalls to the Israelite people the mighty works that Yahweh the Lord lovingly performed on their behalf, especially liberating them from slavery in Egypt, guiding and protecting them during their trek through the wilderness, and giving them the gift of life in the promised land. As a fitting response to God's overtures, the Israelites freely entered into a covenant with the Lord, a covenant cast in terms of a marital relationship. Just as a faithful spouse doesn't hanker after other sexual partners, neither would Israel hanker after gods other than Yahweh. Nevertheless, as Hosea scolds, the Israelites broke that covenant time and again. In chapter 8, from which today's reading is taken, Hosea indicts the people for their infidelity to God with regard to 2 specific areas, their unrestrained ambition for economic success and for national security, regardless of the cost. The period in which Hosea prophesied, the 8th century BCE, was a time of great religious pluralism. The Israelites were exposed to the diverse religious practices of their many Gentile neighbors. They were attracted especially to the Canaanite god Baal, the patron of rain and fertility. As you might imagine, rain was a constant concern in Israel's semi-arid climate. In their anxiety about rainfall and the consequent success or failure of their agricultural efforts, the Israelites resorted to offering sacrifice to Baal rather than relying on the continuing beneficence of Yahweh the Lord. We honor you with our lips, O Lord, but we're counting on Baal to deliver a bumper crop for us. Likewise, in their political relationships, Israel was increasingly reluctant to trust God for its national security. Israel was a tiny country sandwiched between 2 superpowers, Assyria to the northeast and Egypt to the southwest. Rather than banking on Yahweh's promised protection, the Israelite leaders intrigued to enter into a series of shifting alliances with other small countries, each with its own alien gods, to outmaneuver the 2 superpowers. Both of these practices, courting the rain god Baal and relying on foreign powers for protection, ruptured their relationship of loving trust with Yahweh. In his desire to reconcile with his own chosen people, Yahweh, through Hosea, alternates between dire warnings and honeyed appeals. Today's reading threatens, Yahweh the Lord is not pleased with you. He will remember your iniquities and punish your sins. If you do not repent, you shall return to Egypt. What could be more frightening than a return to the place of bondage that Egypt represented? On the other hand, from yesterday's reading, we hear the tender words, I will lead Israel into the wilderness, and there I will speak to her heart. She shall respond there as in the days of her youth, when she came up from the land of Egypt. To this day, Hosea's prophetic words, both the reproachful ones and the conciliatory ones, loom large in the Jewish liturgy, especially on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, where as a community, the Jewish people acknowledge their transgressions and plead their desire to return wholeheartedly to God. But what does this have to do with you and me 2,800 years later? At the very least, I hope it reminds us that God is interested in more than just our liturgy, our prayer, our personal pious practices. Our relationship with God, firmly rooted in the long history of God's love for us, also encompasses how we act as a nation and as a church. As Dr. King reminded us, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. That means, in the first instance, that as partners with God in a loving covenant, we must strive mightily to bring about God's kingdom of justice for all. But our responsibility does not end there. You and I were anointed as prophets at baptism, and therefore we must learn to speak prophetically, denouncing injustice with dire warnings when necessary, but just as importantly, learning to speak with honeyed appeals, trying to win over the hearts and minds of those who do not share our biblically inspired vision for the world. Let us ask Hosea and Amos to pray for us that we and our church might be the prophets that God needs in the world today. May God bless you and give you health.